When I was a 12-year-old boy, I got under conviction one Wednesday night during a revival at our church, and I didn't go to the altar. I thought if I could just get through this and they would dismiss and I could get out of here, that everything would be fine. Well, after I got home, it wasn't fine. I was still under conviction. I was still troubled, even when I went to sleep. And I'm very, very appreciative. I'm very thankful for what the Lord done for me on that Wednesday night, because laying on my back in my bed as a 12-year-old boy, that's where I found the Lord. And I'm still amazed by that. And that is what's going to carry me to glory one day after a while. At the age of 16, I felt the call to preach. And I took that very lightly. I didn't, at the age of 16, being a preacher was not on my to-do list. And I resisted the call to preach. I resisted for 2 years. When I was 18 years old, the Lord got my attention. And He got it very clearly. And I surrendered to the call to preach. Preached my first sermon at the age of 18. I think, if my math's right, I think that's been about 39 years now. And I still don't know nothing. That's amazing too. But Lord's been good to me. No question, been good to my family. He's been good to our church. I've, in the course of my ministry, I've only pastored 2 churches. I've pastored Grant Missionary Baptist Church in Smith County for 10 years, and I've been at Beckwith for about 24, I think it is, somewhere along in there. And the Lord has richly blessed us. We did have a good revival at Beckwith. I appreciate Brother Taylor, what he stands for. My son, Brother Lane, both of them did an excellent job. I didn't have to do anything that week. So that was a little different for me. But the Lord blessed us, and we had 5 souls born into the family of God that week. 3 of them were visitors, young kids, I would refer to them, I guess, but they visited and they came and they got under conviction. And one young lady got saved on the very back seat, and the other 2 young men came to the altar and they got saved. 2 more, one got saved in our sound room, and the other young man came to the altar on a different night, and the Lord saved his soul. I was very honored today at our church that 2 of those young men united with our church, and they experienced baptism this morning, and they were granted all rights and privileges of Beckwith Missionary Baptist Church. Hunter is with us tonight. I appreciate this young man very much, and the Lord is just good, and we can't thank Him enough for what He does for us. I don't know about you. I'm glad to be here. Now, I'm going to be honest, even though I've been doing this a while, I still get a little nervous. This is the first time I ever preached here. And I still get a little intimidated. It's not that I'm scared, I guess. I don't know what it is. It's just new, but I feel a whole lot better because I want you to know that I have got kinfolk in this service. And I just found that out tonight. So, you know, that makes me feel a little better. Brother Sam Vance, we met out in the foyer and we come to the realization that we're distant cousins. So it's an honor to get to know you. It's an honor to be here tonight to be with all of you. I'm looking forward to this week, and I'm going to tell you something. Here's the way I approach a revival. I'm very serious. There's a time to laugh, and there's a time to be serious. Amen. I may tell a joke. It won't be tonight because I'm past all that. But when it comes time for the Word, I'm very, very serious. It's nothing to laugh about. If you're here tonight and you're lost, I want you to understand that a lot of what the Lord is, I'm pretty sure the Lord's going to direct me to preach on this week, is going to be addressed to you. I have a concern on my heart for those that are lost. Now, I do not have any idea who that might be in this service tonight. I do not know about anybody. But I do know that the Lord knows. And the Lord is going to work with the hearts of those individuals that might be in this service. And let's be, as a church, let's be prayerful that that's what happens. I'm also optimistic. I believe the Lord's going to do good things at Mount Calvary this week. I always approach the service of the Lord optimistic that He's going to do something good. And if we would just get out of the way and quit hindering Him and allow Him, He will truly bless us beginning tonight. Wouldn't it be great? Wouldn't it be wonderful if somebody got saved here tonight? What a blessing that would be. I notice you don't have a clock. That's y'all's business, but I'm just going to go on and tell you, with me, that can be dangerous because I don't, have any concept of time when we start preaching, but that's fine. If you can stand it, I can. Turn your Bibles to Psalms 8. Psalms 8. We'll begin reading with verse 1 and read the entire psalm. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest steal the enemy and the avenger. When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yea, and the beast of the field, the fowl of the air and the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passes through the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Tonight, if we have a subject, it will be twofold, and I want to tell you that that subject is going to be about, those subjects will be about justice and mercy. Justice and mercy. Our God, our Lord, is a righteous and holy God. Amen. And He is the only God. And because He is holy, and because He is righteous, He will not ever tolerate sin in any form or fashion. Now, I realize that the world that we live in, we tolerate sin. I don't know if you've noticed this or not, but it appears to me that, and I've said this a lot here lately because the Lord lays this on my heart, I think it's very important, but for a lot of people, sin is not sin anymore. Amen. They have no concept, they have no idea of sin. But I want you to understand that God knows. Amen. And the Bible assures us to be sure that your sins will find you out. That included me. That includes you. That includes all the people out there on this planet at this very moment.
Amen.
All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Because of that, God will demand justice. And He has demanded justice. And I'm going to say that this just didn't start recently. This started with our forefather, Adam, and his wife, Eve. It started there. God has demanded justice for the disobedience that man has committed before a holy and righteous God. Paul told us that the wages of sin is death. Justice will be met. I want you all to understand that, especially if you're here tonight and you're lost, that justice will be met. Now, whenever I read this verse, and I guess my thought is going to focus upon verse 4, and David asked two questions there. He said, "What is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him?" Two questions I want us to address tonight. I want us to look at. Whenever I read that verse, it kind of stands out to me, and I get the sense that David was astonished. He was astonished, marveled at the fact that God had any thoughts toward man. When he said, "What is man that thou art mindful of him?" David understood. David understood that justice had to be met. That he couldn't understand how that he was allowed, probably, to continue on his life. You know, I often wonder about that too. How that any of us are allowed to continue from one day to the next. Because God hates sin. And all of us that are here tonight, some of us have been saved by God's grace. And I'm very thankful for that. I'm thankful for your testimony. Others have not. But our sins have separated us from God, from a holy and righteous God. And justice has to be met. And God is going to do that. Not only did Adam and Eve die physically, they didn't die physically the day that they ate of that tree of the knowledge of good and evil. They did not automatically die. They were allowed to continue on. Adam was 760 years. It was several hundred years. I can turn there and find it if you need me to. But it's several hundred years that Adam was allowed to live after he had disobeyed, after he had sinned before a holy and righteous God. So he didn't die physically. But what happened to him? He died spiritually. The moment that he disobeyed God, he became accountable to God. He became a sinner in the sight of God.
Amen.
Now, if you're here tonight, God has allowed you forever, how many years you've been on this earth, God has allowed you to continue your life. I'm grateful for that. But I want you to understand that God's justice will be met.
Amen.
I don't know how long God will allow you to continue on this earth. That's not my business. That's God's business. And you are not guaranteed another breath.
Amen.
But when you reach the age of accountability, that's where you become aware that you are a sinner in the sight of God.
Amen.
That can happen at any age. I'm not going to say that there's a set age. I've heard people under the age of 10, at the age of 20. I don't know. Again, that's between God and you.
Amen.
But when you become accountable to God, you become responsible to God for your sins.
Amen.
And justice will be met. God has designed and He has planned that those people that meet His justice, that they're going to spend an eternity in a place that's called hell.
Lord,
I don't want that to happen for you.
Amen.
I don't want it to happen to anybody. I don't know that I have any enemies in this world. I try to be nice to people. I'm sure I've made some people angry. But I don't think that I have any enemies that are looking for me tonight. But if I did, and if I do have enemies, you know what? I still want them to come to the knowledge of truth.
Amen.
I want them to experience God's wonderful plan of salvation. Because I don't want anybody, not anybody, to spend an eternity in hell. You know, I'm still astonished that God is mindful of man. I'm still marvel at that tonight. That He's still mindful. There's an old song, I forget now who sang. I believe it was Rusty Goodman, but he used to sing a song, "Who am I? Who am I?" I often ask myself that question, "Who am I?" And I want you to think about this tonight. Who am I that God would even give me a second thought? After all the disappointments, after all the sorrows that the sinful human race has brought to its Creator, because of our sin and because of our disobedience, it's a wonder that God ever has any consideration for us.
Amen.
Why didn't He just annihilate us before we were ever born? Why didn't He just annihilate Adam and Eve and be done with it and start all over? He had that ability. But the Bible tells us that God loves us. He loves each and every one of us. Now I want you to think about this. If you were treated, and think seriously about this just for a moment. If you were treated the way God is treated, what do you suppose the outcome would be? Think about that. Oh, we can't drive down the street without getting sideways. People are in such a hurry. People are so impatient. They're so inconsiderate that they don't want you in their way. And I've experienced this in my occupation. I work as a contractor. I've been out in the middle of streets. People, every which way. You've got to have cones. You've got to have flags. All the safety equipment. And people still don't pay any attention to you. They're so impatient. What if we treated everybody like we treat God? Let's be truthful about it. We would want immediate justice, wouldn't we?
Amen.
We see things happen on the news. We read about things in the paper. We see all this crime and all this evil that's going on in the world. We don't understand it. I mean, it's mind-boggling to me. I cannot comprehend some of the things that's going on in our world. And we look and we automatically become judge and jury. And we say, we want justice. Do away with them. What if God were like that? What if God were like that? What if He were impatient? What if He immediately wanted justice? You know, I've often thought about that night that I was sitting in the church on that Wednesday night. I knew I was lost. Nobody had to tell me that I was lost. The Holy Spirit did that. I knew that I was lost. And I've often thought about this. It was just a short distance from where I was sitting at the church to my home. But I'm going to tell you, I was on dangerous ground. I was on dangerous ground in that space of time. I don't know when the Lord dealt with your heart the first time. I don't know when He first come and pricked that heart and you realize that you're lost. I don't know how many days have passed since the first time. And you know, I believe that tonight. People know when God is dealing with their heart.
Amen.
But I want you to understand something. You're on very dangerous ground.
Amen.
I'm glad that God is slow to anger, aren't you?
Amen.
I'm glad that He's a merciful God. When I rejected Him that Wednesday night in the church house and said, "No, I just want to go home." If He had had immediate justice, I would have never made it home. I would have never left that seat. That would have been the end. We're like that a lot. A good example of that is found in the 12th chapter of 2 Samuel. It's just our human nature. It's who we are. You read about a story and y'all, and I'm not going into details. I don't do that. You can read about it for yourself. But David's little ordeal with Bathsheba. And not only that, but then he had Uriah, Bathsheba's husband, sent to the front lines where he was later killed. Very tragic story, isn't it? David thought that he could just sweep that under the rug. A lot of people think they can just sweep their sins under the rug. Again, be sure your sin will find you out.
Amen.
The Lord sent Nathan to David. The Lord sent Nathan to David. And David went to him and he told him this story. David, he had a lot of authority, a lot of power. And Nathan began to tell him that in this one city there were two men. One was rich, one was poor. He tells us that the rich man had many flocks and herds. He had all kinds of farm animals. And the Bible tells us that this poor man, he only had one little ewe. If you read that verse there, when you read it closely, that one little ewe was basically a pet. It was a pet. And they loved this ewe. Well, this traveler came into town and the rich man wanted to impress him. So he went and instead of going and getting one of his, he took this poor man's one little ewe. Slaughtered him, fed the traveler. They had a big feast. You know what the Bible says? The Bible says that when David heard this, his anger was greatly kindled.
Amen.
He wanted justice.
Amen.
He wanted immediate justice. We're like that, aren't we? Somebody wrongs us. Whether it be at work, whether it be at school, honey, it can even be at church. We want immediate justice and we want it now. David said, "Whoever the man is that did this thing, he shall surely die."
Amen.
Not only is he going to die, but whoever behind him is left behind, they're going to restore that poor rich. That I keep saying, that's a song I sang, forgive me. He keeps telling that poor man, the family that's left behind, they're going to restore to him fourfold. You know what Nathan said to him? "Thou art the man." "Thou art the man." His whole attitude changed. Do you know that?
Amen.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. He demanded justice until it was directed toward him. His attitude changed. But you know what? God kept working with David. And David called out to the Lord. But my point to this story is, aren't you glad that God is not like us?
Amen.
Amen.
Aren't you thankful? Every single one of us that's a child of God tonight, we should be thankful that God is not like us. He is a long-suffering and a merciful God. Solomon wrote in the third chapter of Lamentations, verses 22 and verse 23, he said, "It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness." I'm very thankful for that tonight. David wrote again in Psalms 103 and verse 8, he said, "The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, plenteous in mercy." Tonight, I want everybody in this room, including myself, I want us to recognize how blessed we are.
Amen.
How truly blessed we are. I'm glad that the Lord was long-suffering to me, aren't you?
Amen.
I'm glad that He didn't immediately bring His justice down upon me. But He was long-suffering.
Amen.
And tonight, He's still long-suffering. And He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You know, if we got what we deserved, I want you to think about this. Because we have disobeyed God. And I want to say, everybody in here, you've disobeyed God, whether you know it or not. "He that saith he have no sin hath made him to be a liar, and the truth's not in him."
Amen.
So we all have disobeyed God. Some of us, we obeyed God and followed His directions in the plan of salvation, and we've been forgiven. I'm thankful for that by the blood of Jesus Christ. Others are still under the justice of God. You're still facing that. You're still facing the wrath of God. And I want you to understand that tonight, that something has to be done. If we all got what we deserved, hell would be mandatory.
Amen.
We would not have an option whatsoever. Hell would just automatically be mandatory for each and every one of us if we got what we deserved. But again, the fact that we serve an all-powerful, an all-wise, all-righteous God that has power over everything that we know and everything that we see. The moon, the stars, the sun, the earth, everything in the sea. And if you ever watch any of those National Geographic, there's a bunch of stuff in the sea. Stuff they don't even know about. And God controls it all.
Amen.
But yet, the fact that He is considerate and that He is compassionate to us is proof that He is willing to forgive us, that He is willing to save us, that He loves us so much. I just wish everybody could come to the realization of how much God truly loves us. There's no more greater evidence of that fact that can be found other than in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Jesus Christ. He was willing, as David told us, to be made a little lower than the angels, to come into this world of sin and sorrow, and bear upon Him the justice that God demanded.
Amen.
Isn't that amazing? And people want to trod underfoot the Son of God. They want to mock my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I'll give you a little piece of advice. Don't do that in front of me. Because I'm not going to just walk away from it. what the Lord done for me. And you say, you trying to be tough? No, I'm not tough. I guarantee you I'm not tough. You might kill me. That's all right too. I got a better place to go.
Amen.
And it's not by anything that I did.
Amen.
It's by what that man, Jesus Christ, did for me. And I owe it all to Him. In 1 John chapter 4, verses 9 and 10, God, His Word describes, it says, "In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be a propitiation for our sins." He loved us first.
Amen.
Do you understand that? We're out here. We're just going and doing and carrying on like a bunch of animals. We have no respect for God. We have sinned against a holy and righteous God. But yet God loves us so much that He gave His Son. The Apostle Paul said that God commendeth us love in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us.
Amen.
That's every one of us tonight. And Jesus Christ, He was with Him. He did visit us. Do you know that? I believe that. A lot of the world doesn't believe that tonight. But I believe that the Lord Jesus Christ, He took on the form of man. I believe He was born of the Virgin Mary. A lot of people have a problem comprehending that. Oh, that's impossible. It might be with you, but with God it's not.
Amen.
I believe in miracles. When the Lord saved my soul, that was a miracle. I don't care what you call it. It was nothing less or short of a miracle. My heart was tore to pieces. I realized that if I died, that I would not get to go to heaven, which is what I wanted to do. I was raised to know to do that. But I realized, I came to an understanding, a realization. It was very real to me. Nobody came and said, "Hey boy, you're going to hell." Nobody said that. The Holy Spirit came and revealed that to my heart. He spoke and I knew where I was headed. And when I called on the name of the Lord, I experienced the promise that the Bible tells us about. The Lord saved my soul.
Amen.
And how all that happened is a miracle.
Amen.
I can't explain part of it, okay? I knew how I felt beforehand, I knew how I felt afterwards.
Amen.
There's just a part in there that's a miracle.
Amen.
And I view it as a miracle. And there's no need to try to persuade me otherwise. It was a miracle.
Amen.
And I believe in miracles. Jesus Christ came, and it was totally out of love.
Amen.
He didn't have to. The Bible says that they didn't take His life. He gave His life.
Amen.
He volunteered to do something for me and for you.
Lord help.
He took all of that upon Himself. Paul wrote in the second chapter of the book of Philippians, verse 8, says, "Being found in the fashion of man, He humbled Himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." The Son of God, in the splendors and the glory of heaven, He was willing to come down here to this low ground of sin and sorrow and be treated like a criminal. And that's exactly how He was treated. Like a criminal. They treated Him horribly. But He was willing to do it. And He became obedient to the cross. And in doing that, He became God's substitute for sinners. He took upon Him all of the justice that God was fixing to pour out on man. He took it upon Himself. He became our substitute, a propitiation for our sins. God is a just God, and He demands justice. But our God, His mercy,
amen,
is greater.
Amen.
He's a merciful, a loving, a kind, warm, considerate. You know, it doesn't matter where you've been, what you've done. And I've met some pretty rough characters. Oh, I had one fella, you could just tell. This guy, he was tough. He was rough. And he got under conviction one night and went outside. I followed him. I loved him. I went outside with him and I said, "Brother," I said, "everything all right?" He said, "Nope." He said, "I know I'm lost." He said, "but I'm too rough. I'm too mean." I said, "oh, no. No. You're not too mean." I said, "read the Bible. There's some mean people that got saved. Paul was one of them."
Amen.
You ain't going to get much meaner than Paul. The thief on the cross. Another one. We could go on and on. There's nothing too big for our God.
Amen.
His mercy is greater than anything about us. He made a way for us to escape the sentence that has been passed upon all men. He made a way. That way is only found in one person, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Jesus Christ. There is no other way, no other name given among men under heaven whereby we must be saved. The name of Jesus. God showed His mercy upon man through Jesus Christ. I pray tonight that the Holy Spirit would cause you to recognize who you are.
Amen.
You know, a lot of people, they don't realize who they are. And I'm going to tell you, that's the beginning of this, okay? As long as you deny that you're a sinner, and there's evidences of that in the Bible. The Pharisee and the publican. The publican, he recognized who and what he was, didn't he? That old Pharisee, he thought because he had religion, he thought that he was okay. And that old publican, he couldn't even lift up his eyes toward heaven. But he smote himself on the breast and he said, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." Are you willing to do that tonight? Until you get willing to admit to God that you are a sinner, you're going to have a problem. God already knows it, okay? God already knows. God knows more about us than we know about ourselves. He knows that we are sinners. That's why He sent Jesus Christ. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You know, if that's all we had, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. If that's all we had, we'd all be in trouble tonight. Yeah. Because it's a fact about all of us, we have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We would be in serious, eternal trouble. But you know what? I'm thankful. I'm just delighted to be able to stand in this pulpit and to tell you that we can give thanks that God was mindful of all of us.
Amen.
He was mindful of each and every one of us.
Amen.
in His Son, Jesus Christ. And Paul goes on in Romans chapter 3 and verse 24. He says, being justified freely by His grace through redemption that is in who? Christ Jesus. There is no other way. Tonight, I want you to realize, and I hope that God's Spirit deals with your heart. I don't care if you've been going to church for 100 years. You know, there's going to be a lot of people that went to church. They ain't going to get into the kingdom of God.
Amen.
Jesus told us that. That ain't something I just made up.
Right.
Jesus told us that very truth. There's going to be a lot of religious people. They're not going to be permitted into the kingdom of heaven. If you're here tonight and you're lost, I want you to recognize what God is trying to do for you. But I also want you to recognize what kind of condemnation you are under tonight. You're condemned already. That sentence, God's justice, is upon you tonight. And the only way that you can escape that is through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Hebrews asks this question, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation?
Amen.
There is no escape, folks. He is the only way. The only way.
Amen.
I hope tonight, if you're here and you're lost, that you'll follow the leadership and the guidance of the Holy Spirit. And that's exactly what the Spirit is trying to do for you, is to guide you into all truth.
Amen.
And you'll make an altar either here, where you're at. I told you at our revival at Beckwith, they've been saved all over the both buildings that we got over at Beckwith. There's not any virtue in this bench right here. I'm glad it's there. I'm very glad it's there.
Amen.
I don't know if I'd be here if that wasn't there. If you want to know the truth about it. That makes a statement. It's a place that has been set aside. You can come and you can call on the name of the Lord. You can do it where you're at. You can do it in one of these rooms over here. We can go outside. I don't know if it's still raining or not. Don't make me no difference. We'll go anyhow. You can find the Lord precious to your soul wherever you humble yourself on the name of the Lord. I hope that you can find it in yourself tonight to follow. Follow the Lord. Mind the Spirit tonight. As we prepare for an invitational hymn, Brother Colin, if you would, come and let's sing a song.